It's Anime Pacific, episode 32.
32. A special Dane in Australia episode. It's...
Yes, special because it's the episode after 31.
I'm sure Dane has been crocodile hunting with his big knife and Crocodile Dundee hat as he stared at kangaroos and herded his dingoes or whatever.
Herded his dingoes. Okay, well, I don't know if I am in Australia or if I'm in Nazi-controlled Germany, because they're very similar.
How so?
Made me absolutely sick. Now, people probably understand why I don't like Australia, or I don't live in Australia. Okay, the airport. I get to the airport, Sydney Airport, for those of you that don't know, and I'm getting off, doing all the normal
maybe
things,
that's
checking
the
out my baggage, stowing my child's places that are unable to be seen, just normal, healthy stuff, and so I get through immigration, do all of that, my wife goes through immigration, that's fine. Then in the baggage area, my wife gets accosted not once, not twice, but three times. Oh yeah, what are you doing in Australia? Oh yeah? Oh yeah, I see. And how long are you staying here? Oh well, that's a long time. And and all these Nazis.
Oh, they're worried about...
And then I'm looking.
They're worried about illegal immigration.
I don't know what it is, but I'm looking. And I'm like, okay guys, you know, you can talk to me, that's fine. But I'm looking at every Asian in the building, and they're all being chastised and interrogated. Now there are tons of laws for, like, you know, they can interrogate you and keep you in custody for a long time, and oh my goodness, it's awful. And anyway, I'm not going to get political, that's not the point of this podcast, but, you know, there's all these laws for people to sort of, you know, be taken away. So the third time my wife gets it taken away, it's by this big sort of dykey woman with an earring and a KD Lang. No, KD Lang is like Princess Leia compared to this woman. This woman had like this real shaved, spiky sort of hair, and then, well, what are you doing in Australia? And I was going to say something like, oh, I'm sorry, is this Australia? I thought it was Nazi Germany. But I suppose she would have said...
Oh, that would be bad. That would have been very bad. You should not have said that.
What did you say? What did you say? Hey, you got a beard. You're one of them. You're one of them Muslims, aren't you? So what if I was? Right. Then they would have taken me away. I don't know. But yeah. So that certainly put a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, there's a joke to be made there, but I'll stick on this serious political topic and point out that I think it's because of the sort of illegal immigration sort of situation.
Well,
in that now that they sort of crack down on people coming over on boats, that people are sort of flying in and like overstaying their visas. So I guess they're trying
another
to
thing.
Crack down on that.
Disgusting
that
human rights record. They're these poor refugees on boats, and then they stick them in prisons for 3 years. Oh, I hate this country. That's all I can say. Anyway, it's nice to be back and see my family and see...
Well, just in their defense that, you know, if they didn't do that, it just like, you know, instead, what would they do? Put them up in hotels and then you know, give them money indefinitely? You know, then they'll be swamped with more and more and more, like, economic... They're economic migrants, right?
Okay, I hereby offer to host any young Chinese girls. They are more than welcome to stay in my place free of charge. And there we go.
They'll be your... Yeah, I can imagine. The source of the bad taste. Well, Chinese boys, probably. Anyway. Yeah. No, but okay. Anyways, we should get off this topic, but
yes.
How are you enjoying your brutal winter?
Yes, a brutal summer by Canadian standards.
Yeah, probably.
It's actually a very cold winter by Australian standards. It's like 7 degrees Celsius.
Ooh, so Connie's got her giant Gore-Tex jacket on, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't recognize
her.
It's just like this ball of fluff with like legs poking out.
Yeah. Hong
Needless
Kong people,
to say,
they can't.
Extremely
it's just always funny. Like in Hong Kong, it gets to like 20 degrees, and all the Hong Kongers they break out their like snow suits, and
it's quite funny.
It's
very funny. And this is one guy I know, who you know that guy I was telling you who always goes to places like Iraq or the Gaza Strip, just for a holiday.
Right.
And whenever the air conditioner is on, even if it's 33 degrees. He'll put on his summer winter jacket, which is like for minus 40 temperature. He just can't handle it.
Where is he from? He's from Hong Kong. He's a Hong Konger.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, some people just can't take air conditioning. It's like my wife. My wife is like here, and like until it like just peaked over 30, she was like, "I'm cold."
Yeah, I know.
After 30, she was finally comfortable, but you know, under 30, it was, you know,
my wife is quite happy to go out on the sofa in 95 degree humidity and 35 degree temperature because she's sneezing or is getting cold in the air conditioner.
Yeah. It's same here.
It's hugely annoying.
Anyways. So life in Australia.
Everyone should think and feel the same way as me.
That's right. We should all have the same.
Dag-nam-it.
Anyways, what are you planning to do with your 5 weeks of vacation? Well, let me guess. You're going to spend a lot of time at the pub, drinking Foster's, watching Aussie Rules football, and then going, oi, oi, oi. Yes?
Well, consider this. I have never drank Foster's in my life. I don't even drink beer or alcohol.
You're not a real Australian.
No, I'm not. And I've often said that, and I consider that a compliment. I have never watched...
Next you'll be telling us you've never wrestled an alligator, that you...
Well, that was out of passion, Alex. I have never, ever watched rugby or football or Australian rules or any of that stuff.
Oh my God, what about go oi, oi, oi?
I would sooner castrate myself than say oi, oi, oi.
You just said it. Oi,
oh,
oi,
crap.
Oi.
Okay.
One more time. Give me an oi,
time
oi.
Time for
oi.
A live castration. Yes, so
yeah,
suffice to say that
right.
Although not all Australians are like that, I am definitely...
Why do you even bother going... If you hate Australia so much, why do you even bother going home for 5 weeks? You might as well, you know, go to, like, Europe or something.
Well, I got my family to visit here, and I always enjoy seeing them. And there are... good things I can do here that I enjoy, like, you know, visiting my little hometown, which I consider a haven from the world outside, and of course my grandmother's farm, which is cool, and visiting the countryside, stuff like that. So there's positive things here. It's just as a country, as a government, etc., 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 it doesn't really appeal to me at all.
Dane, the left-wing radical socialist. All right. Moving on, I don't know if people know the website Japan Pro. But they've always got sort of funny stuff there, and I found some somewhat hilarious links here. First of all, one article here. The headline is "Japanese breast size increasing: a study on J boobs." That's one of their big article. Apparently, the size of boobs in Japan has been going up in the last 20 years or so. Maybe thanks to all that McDonald's food all the young people are eating these days. But a funnier article is Chinese perverts invade Japanese beaches. This is a sort of a twist on the usual sort of salaryman is a pervert story you see in Japan.
Yes.
Now it's the Chinese...
Well, this is lovely.
It's kind of a funny story.
It is, but... okay, basically what happened was that there were these two guys with a camera... and they were filming girls on the beach. They weren't stalking them or anything. They were just filming girls on the beach. And then they got sort of accosted or confronted by a lifeguard. They spoke in Chinese and feigned ignorance.
They pretended not to speak Japanese, essentially.
But one of the people there...
Which is something a lot of foreigners do.
One of the people there did speak Chinese and surprised the heck out of them. And then the police took them away. Now... this sort of stuff happens a lot, and of course in Japan. I mean, my wife, who went there to visit, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but you know, she went to the
good
toilet
story.
Booth. It was a little bit open, and there was one next to it also, and she just went, okay, I'll go in this one, and opened it, and there was a guy with a video camera sticking the camera under the booth to the occupied booth to the left. So this sort of stuff happens all the time, and that guy wasn't Chinese, I think. The only thing, this is something that normally happens. It is a much more tamer thing that has happened, but it seems that the fact that they're Chinese, which honestly, they should have just spoken Japanese, and this would not have made the news at all. But because they were speaking Chinese, and now it's the big sort of, you know, Chinese perverts. So
maybe the Japanese pervert industry is being exported to China.
Yes.
I don't know.
Could be. They're naturalized Japanese.
But I just thought it was, like, the whole sort of situation, they're pretending, Nihongo wakarimasen, that kind of sort of, like, even if for foreigners, you know, it gets a sort of a technique foreigners can use to get out of sort of situations, even if they speak Japanese, pretend not to.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese people usually just give up and, okay, go away.
Yeah, well,
but
that's funny you say.
Yeah, here it's like they were caught out, you know.
Yeah.
oh, I speak Chinese, you know.
And
their plot was destroyed, and they admitted later they spoke, you know, perfect Japanese.
Well, so. Later on.
Anyways.
Sorry, not later on. Earlier, before, when I lived in North China, I the same thing happened. I was catching a long distance train. I had two tickets, the ticket to get there and the ticket to get back, and I showed the guy the wrong ticket. And I could see something was wrong. He was like, just and then I realized I showed him my earlier ticket. In fact, I did own I did have the proper ticket, but as far as he was concerned, I was just jumping the lines, and he didn't do anything about it, so.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. And the final star I want to mention here on Japan Pro was the, for the eye candy reasons, they've got top 10 girls Japanese men want to go to the beach with.
That means
with,
top 10 girls like Japanese men want to bang and bang hard.
Essentially, and they've got, I guess they did a national survey, but I guess it's because it was a holiday, Marine Day.
Yes.
You know, in Japan, they always got these sort of, you know, sort of very bland kind of holidays, like Respect for the Old People Day and, you know, Respect
yeah,
for Vegetables Day, and they got all that stuff. You know,
actually, while we're on that subject,
Respect for the Ocean Day, so, yeah, so they got top 10, and they got the picture of all these girls in bikinis. I guess they're all kind of like pin-up girls.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people might have heard of number one here. It's Aki Hoshino.
Yes, the great Aki Hoshino. It's been a while since I've seen her because we broke up on pretty bad terms. I wanted her to like me just for my personality, but she was body, and you know I'm not a toy. Yes. Anyway, Aki Hoshino, who recently turned 30, and
really?
Yeah.
Get out.
No, she turned 30, and she's got this very youthful face. She's a bit thinner now. I liked her when she was she had just the right amount of plumpness before, but she they did this special in Japan where they took her to a dermatologist or something like that, and they gave her a body check to see how old the test revealed her as being. Of course, she was 30, and they admitted that. But apparently, her skin and et cetera, was like someone who was 27 or 28. So,
2 years younger.
Yes.
All right, must be using a lot of creams or something. Anyways, enough of that. I just want to point those out, and Dane will link to them in the show notes, hopefully, unless he forgets, like he tends to do.
No, this
you
I
forgot to remember that email we got from what's his face? He lists the history of manga or anime. You forgot to post it.
So I did.
Yeah.
So I did.
Well, all right. Anyways, and the next sort of I want to speaking of hot chicks, I really got to commend you on your job you did on the blog for last week's podcast.
Oh,
the show
I
notes for
you.
Last week's podcast. He really goes on. He dug up some a picture of 1960s stewardesses. And it's worth having a look with the knee-high boots that are, you know, even popular popular nowadays, and the mini skirts. I mean, and compare that to the sideshow blimps that we, you know, the uniforms we got wearing these days, and the stewardesses who are wearing them. Those were the days. And then he found a beautiful design for a ideal uniform. I'm not sure what this picture is from, but that's definitely the way to go. It's just a sort of, she's got this kind of stocking with fishnet stockings and high heels, and the skirt that just, like a one-piece kind of mini skirt that just barely covers her rear end and her assets, as it were, and it's sort of
skin-tight leather. It's very
practical. Yeah, it's skin-tight leather. Not, you can very, you know, flexible. This is great. So that should definitely be the uniform, I have to say. And then you went on, and we were talking about how, you know, sort of the Japanese sort of see themselves as victims of World War II. And you found some hilarious propaganda stuff from World War II. That's great.
Yeah, I like the one where they're invading Vladivostok, and the children are like, they're here! And they've got all these little Japanese flags. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, yeah, or the Japanese soldier on the horse, you know, sort of in his conquest, marching by, saluting the children as they heroically bow to the... It's great.
Yes. The Chinese children who were given, like, candy laced with different chemicals for scientific experiments. But, you know, the guy, he's a nice general. I mean, come on, say hello.
And I like, you found this, you know, obviously sort of Australian kind of propaganda poster where it's, like, this picture of this Japanese soldier, and it's, like, sort of striding towards Australia, and it's like, he's coming south. It's fight, work, or perish. You know, sort of kind of World War II. And I like your comment here. Some ingrates obviously don't appreciate the lovable guiding hand of our Pacific overlords. Oh, that was great.
That's right. We could have had anime on TV every day if you didn't take over. Damn it.
But, so I don't know. For those of you who don't bother reading the show notes, I think you should check them out because Dan really goes to town, and a lot of jokes in there that don't make the show, he sort of thinks of later and sticks them in the show notes. So definitely check them out. It's really hilarious. And
one thing that did break my heart a little bit was about the DivX Stage 6
incident. That's hilarious. I guess they wrote you a notice that they're pulling down your efforts to distribute this work. So they removed your show from the three episodes from David Stage 6.
It really pisses me off. I mean, they've got, you know, the latest episode of Naruto and an umpteen tons of licensed anime, and here I am uploading and releasing something that is out of print and unavailable on DVD, and they take that away.
It's got to be.
What the hell happened?
It's got to be somebody who's listening to the show must have went there and reported it. Because
I don't know. If you are, don't listen to our show again, and we pray for your death.
I wouldn't go that far, but
no, I will. Let us unite hands, Annie Packers, and pray for the most painful death possible. And then when we read about it in the news, we'll know that that was the person who did it.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, like, if there is that much other, like, you know, newer sort of pirated stuff, but that's the only thing I can think of, like. Because we were advertising it through here, and they must have, oh, that's not right, and they went to the, you know, DivX Stage and complained or emailed them or reported it. I find it hard to believe that
WannaBes is still there.
I find it hard to believe that there's, like, usually, like with YouTube, it's like, it's not until the copyright holder complains to YouTube they pull it down, you know.
Yeah, well, I did email Stage 6 with my point. I don't expect them to restore the video by any means.
Of course not. I mean, your point is ridiculous. But like, you can say it's out of print.
My point is not ridiculous. I think it's a valid
legally,
point.
Legally, it's ridiculous because the copyright is good for
legally, it is ridiculous, yes. But morally, and from the point of view that there are hundreds of licensed anime there, which are very easily seen, and they ignore that, and then they attack, you know, my sort of obscure anime that I uploaded there. Maybe it was just because my one got quite a bit more attention than Wannabe's did.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
it's
not.
It's been downloaded about 100 times, Wannabe's.
What, Wannabe's?
Huh. Yeah. Which, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's about as many people that listen to this show as far as I know, about 100. But, you know,
I
gotta share this stuff.
Yeah, it's too bad. You're gonna have to set up, figure out a different way of distributing it, or I don't know if
if you look at the top
it?
Of. Yeah, I did. Look at the top of Anime Pacific episode 31 update, and I've put an update, and I've said that there is a very well seeded torrent of this, which was released just days ago, and the torrent
by a mystery person.
Is there. By a mystery
by
person,
some mysterious
yeah,
person. Not you.
It's funny. It's no, not by me. I don't have the power to seed this stuff, but
I
do notice
that. Maybe
somebody
got it from. Maybe somebody got it from Divic Stage 6, well, and then you know, so somebody else like got your release, and then they distributed it. I don't know, but anyway,
I don't know.
So it's unfortunate
it seems
that
they pulled
to it be down. This is dragging on a bit, but it's unfortunate that it got pulled down and. Thank God for the torrent release that some lucky...
Yep, which is posted at our website at the top of 31. Get the torrent from here.
Yeah.
That's where it's.
I missed that.
So you can still obtain this
yep.
show.
And have a look at
yep.
those gorgeous
so
stewardess
that's
uniforms.
That.
Ho ho.
Stop, whoa, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Okay, the mail.
All right, here... Yes.
I thought there wouldn't be any mail this week, but Alex must be doing something right, because the mail keeps coming back.
Quiet.
Sorry.
All right. We got a couple emails, surprisingly enough, considering we got, you know, none the week before, and a couple comments in the comments section of the blog. So let me just sort of highlight a couple of the points from the comments section. Root Beer King points out... that, you know, he watched episode 1 of Cockpit and he thought it was okay, and he kept thinking that it was sort of similar to Interstellar 5555, which I have not seen. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it, no. Shamingly, but I know exactly what he's talking about, though, so...
Okay, so he brings up that point, and he said he checked out the Babel Gum program, which he mentioned last week, and says it's only showing 2 series. So, I don't know, it's not exactly the anime panacea that you
No, but
out.
I know Slayers has just been added to it, and that's what got this software to my attention. So, they're obviously working on improving their catalogue. And Ipa mentioned that another program, I think called Juiced, Ipa of Ipa's
right.
Choice podcast, of course... mentioned that this program Juiced had that channel, but it wouldn't work, and the reason being is that Juiced only showed that channel to the US and select parts of Europe. But
I hate when they do that.
Yeah, so do I. But luckily this Babel Gum, somehow they've got permission to show this stuff internationally, and I know that was a point of confusion to you, Alex, because of the license laws and etc.
Yeah, I don't know. It still seems too good to be true for me because of the licensing. That's exactly the issue. Like, I remember I wanted to watch Canadian television from Japan, and CTV, like the Canada Television Network, CTV, is, you know, has like an online sort of broadband so you can watch CTV, you know. And of course, with my 100 MIPS connection in Japan, I was like, oh, this is no problem. What great quality. I can watch... you know, the Canadian, you know, TV from Japan, yay. And of course, nope, not allowed to watch it because I'm not in Canada.
You get a proxy
who the hell would...
to go through that.
Yeah, but that would slow everything down, right?
It
it's
would.
Interfere.
But unless you,
and
you could probably
make
pay
it unwatchable.
For a good proxy.
No, I wouldn't. Then what's the point?
Well,
and,
like
and,
cable, but cheaper.
And Well, the whole point would be it's convenient and it's easy and I can watch it speedy, you know. But only, but first of all, from their point of view, limiting it only to the Canadians, like, you're in Canada already. You can watch it free over the air. Why the hell would you want to log on to your internet provider, watch like a fuzzy, and the broadband in Canada, you know, while, you know, better in some respects than, you know, down in the States, like faster.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly up to Japanese speeds, nowhere near, you know. So I just don't see the point, really. So anyways, I thought that was ridiculous.
Yes. Now, IPA also mentioned
that
Darker Than Black got picked up by Funimation. You got licensed.
Yeah, I mean, yay. Now I can, in 6 months or to a year, buy it, purchase it, and watch what I've already seen or could have gotten for free. Yay!
Well,
I know that's the way I'm supposed to say, because I'm supposed to be like, yay, anime, they got picked up.
Yeah, well, I know our inner fan is absolutely heartbroken that we can't see the conclusion of this series sooner.
I wasn't sure how long, like how many episodes more, because they released 13 and 14.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many episodes this was supposed to have in the first place.
26.
Like 20, like,
I suppose.
In the first season?
Could be a 24 to 26, or it could be a double
that
season. Because
Skullman was only like 8 episodes long, you know.
Is that finished already?
Yeah.
Did you see the end of that?
I watched, yeah, but I got, because like I was watching them like weeks apart.
Yeah.
The story is so is pretty complex.
Yes.
And like more than you'd think, you know. And there are a lot of names they throw at you. And I can't keep track of them all. Too many names. I gotta watch it all. I forget who's who very easily after like a week or two has passed. So I have to go back, sit down, and watch them all back to back, so I can sort of figure out. But I totally like lost track, like what the hell was happening. It's sort of like around episode 5. I'm like, who's that guy? Who are they talking about? You know? Because So
was it good all the way to the end?
Yeah, but just the problem is the story so it gets complicated.
But I was worried when I started watching it. How can they fit this into 13 episodes, let alone 8 or 9?
Maybe there'll be a second season. But anyways, it was a couple weeks ago that I watched it. I can't really remember because I was sort of half watched. I was like, half time I spent like, what the hell's going on? You know,
yeah.
And I sort of stopped paying attention. So I'm gonna have to go back, watch them all again, then give you like a more solid opinion, because I really couldn't understand it as it. Yeah, it's not exactly like, you know, Naruto or something. It's sort of, it really is deep, you know. But back to Darker Than Black.
Too, man.
Yeah. Back to Darker Than Black. Friggin' awesome. I'm not surprised it got picked up, because I really do think it's like the next Ghost in the Shell.
Mm.
It's that good. But it just. And I know the guys, what's that podcast who, you know, they were ragging on, not Anime Genesis, what was the other one?
Anime Pulse.
Because they were ragging on Anime Pulse for...
Skullman.
They were ragging on Anime Pulse for being upset that, you know, something got picked up, or being upset that the fan subbers stopped subbing a show after it got picked up. And
the Geek Nights thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Geek Knights were ragging on Anime Pulse for... It was one of their complaints that, you know, you shouldn't complain that, you know, that the fan subbers have stopped subbing something.
Well, I think what they complained about more...
They stopped because it got picked up.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that point. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I can see that point too, but I think what Geek Knights complained about more was the fact that they were pretty... They seemed pro-bootleg. You know, they're very open about the bootlegging. I think that's worse, personally.
Okay, yeah. But all right. And I can see that. I can totally see the Geek Knights point of view. But on the other hand, I can, you know, after, like, you see, you're watching along, you're episode 14, and it gets picked up, and then suddenly, like, the politically correct thing is to say, yay! Now it's coming to America, Region 1, legitimately. I can buy the whole thing for $90 in 1 year. Huzzah!
Yes.
When actually, I think every person is actually thinking, frig, it got picked up. Now I got to wait 6 months.
Pretty much.
I want to know what happens. God damn it. And I got to pay for it. I was getting it for free 2 minutes ago. Back in the good old days, you know, in the early 90s or in the mid 90s, we got everything off of Newsnet and we didn't have any of this importing, you know. So I think that's what actually...
Well, I'm glad it's Funimation that picked it up, though, because they'll probably do a pretty decent job with that. If Bandai would have picked it up, which they probably wouldn't have, but if they would have, oh my goodness, I would have just... You know, that would have been, you know, $50 for a disc. I know they just sold Angel Princess Rune for 20 minutes for like $30. Freedom on a... Freedom came out, episode 1, on a... dual layer disc, like one is
dual layer. What the hell? It's only, you know.
No, I mean
that's hilarious.
One is HD DVD and the other one is just standard DVD. And it's a half an hour show, and they released it for like $40.
So what do you mean dual layer disc?
Double layer? I don't know what it is. It's
like nine gigabyte.
No,
disc.
No. It's like you can play it in a. HD DVD player, and it will work in a standard DVD player. Like, one layer is a standard disc,
and
the other layer
is a big difference between a DVD 9.
Oh, absolutely,
and HD,
I know. It's called, it's called double layer.
A DVD 9, a DVD 9 is a dual layer disc.
Yes, double layer.
Yes.
I know there's some term that's very similar to it.
Oh, okay, I understand. Yes. So it released it in HD DVD then. Okay, I understand. Anyways, yeah, which I think... is unfortunate. They should stick to one Blu-ray. Everybody, Blockbuster has decided to abandon HD DVD and is concentrating on Blu-ray. So I think now is the time we should all rally around Blu-ray, get one standard, so that this fight will be over and one standard will win and they can get the prices down. I know I was reading that HD DVD is gonna try and release a $99 player.
Ooh.
You know, so that yeah, ooh, you know.
Well, the whole PS3 is a Blu-ray player didn't work out for them because the PS3.
It did.
PS3 is a flop.
But it's put out a lot of Blu-ray players there, and if it may be a flop so far for game wise, but as everybody who bought a PS3 now has a Blu-ray. That means that a lot of people out there, a lot more people have Blu-rays than HD DVDs, which is why Blockbuster is going with Blu-ray, and why Blu-ray may... So think of it as a lost leader. They're losing money on the PS3, and PS3, even after this price cut to $500, it may not, as a game machine, surpass like the Wii, but as like a Trojan horse, so that for the next 10, 15 years, Sony can rake in massive profits from Blu-ray, because they didn't like compromise with the other faction.
Mm.
You know, it could turn out to be like brilliant. You know, so as long as they win, if Blu-ray doesn't win and you know HD DVD wins, and then Sony's screwed. But if they can pull this off, it's going to seem like the most brilliant sort of move ever. You know, so we'll see.
Yes.
So anyways, we're going way off tangent. So let's look at the other emails that we have. So this is an email to our animepacific@yahoo.com account. So Paul Acuna, he points out this another sort of funny bad food in China story. Ah, it was hilarious. This is a Beijing steamed buns include cardboard.
Lovely.
Chopped cardboard softened with industrial chemical and flavored with fatty pork and powdered seasoning is the main ingredient in a batch of steamed buns sold in one Beijing neighborhood, state television said.
My goodness.
Can you believe that? Countless small, often illegally run operations exist across China and make money cutting corners by using inexpensive ingredients or unsavory substitutes.
I got a whopper for you after this, by the way, on the same subject, but carry on.
All right. So State TV Uncover investigation features the shirtless, short-clad maker of the buns called Baozi. Explain the contents of the pro... Yeah, Baozi, okay. Explain the contents of a product sold in Beijing's sprawling... Chaoyang District. Baozi are a common snack in China with an outer skin made from wheat or rice flour and a filling of sliced pork. cooked by steaming in immense bamboo baskets. They are similar to, but usually much bigger than, the dumplings found on dim sum menus familiar to many Americans. The hidden camera followed the man, whose face is not shown, into a ramshackle building where the steamers are filled with those fluffy white buns, traditionally stuffed with minced pork. The surroundings are filthy, with water puddles and piles of old furniture and cardboard on the ground. "What's in the recipe?" the reporter asks. 6 to 4, the man says. "You mean 60% cardboard? What is the other 40%? asks the reporter. "Fatty meat." "Fatty meat," the man replies. The bun maker and his assistants then give a demonstration how the product is made. Squares of cardboard are picked up from the ground, are first soaked to a pulp in a plastic basin of caustic soda, a chemical base commonly used in manufacturing paper and soap, then chopped into tiny morsels with a cleaver. Fatty pork and powdered seasoning are stirred in. Soon the steaming servings of bun appear on the screen. The reporter takes a bite. Ugh. "This Bowsy's filling is kind of tough. Not much taste. Can other people taste the difference?" "Most people can't. It fools the average person. I don't eat them myself."
No, of course not.
The police eventually showed up and shut down the operation. That's just sick. It's hilarious.
Yes, it is hilarious. And Bowsy, a lot of people in America, Australia, the Chinese restaurants are mostly Cantonese food, and they've got char siu bao, which is this sort of these pork buns that are really sort of pretty big and absolutely delicious. In China, they have baozi, which is sauceless for the most part, but it's got like pork and herbs in this little bun, and you put it in vinegar, and it's absolutely delicious. When I lived in North China, there was literally like a caravan outside where I used to live. Now, the caravan was populated by this woman and her little kid, who had like a bun restaurant, and they'd steam it all. And steamed food is good for you, but if you got cardboard in there, it sort of takes away the the health benefits there. And yeah, I mean, that is just absolutely shocking. But in Hong Kong, we get these news reports all the time, which makes Hong Kong people very, very scared and wary of China. Perhaps too much so.
Yeah, I mean, we were in we were shopping in like a, they call the supermarket here, and we were walking around, and Kauri was like, "Oh, this is made in China. No, no, we can't have it." Next time, "This is made in China. No, no, we can't have it." You know, she was avoiding anything that was made in, like, any of the food that was made in China.
Well, I think you're not going to have a big problem there, because, to export it, there's lots and lots of stuff they've got to go through, so the chances of it being...
Not less than you think. I was just watching on the news, you know, how people can get around it, and how really, like, less than, like, 1% of, like, imports, like, food imports are checked, you know?
So. Well, I think there's also these little laws that if... I know there's, like, an American law that if a package contains less than 20 rat hairs, it's okay. Something like that. I remember reading that and feeling a bit queasy. But anyway, this other Whopper I was telling you about, there is a popular dish, especially in Hong Kong, where it's like pig's blood, or boiled pig's blood, and it sort of becomes into cube shape, like tofu. Sort of like tofu, but it's pig's blood. It's quite nice, and you mix it with your noodles. Okay, that's fine. I mean, not everyone is going to like having pig's blood. But they discovered in China, one supplier, or one market supplier of pig's blood was in fact using, like, beef blood, like cow blood, and the blood of other animals to make these pork blood cubes. So,
oh my god.
I don't know if that guy is still alive. I'm sure his customers aren't.
Very disturbing.
Very scary.
And last week we sort of brought up the fact that Hong Kong is sort of supposed to be like rated by some conservative group like the freest market in the world, and how really all these kind of sort of right wing kind of ideas are sort of implemented in Hong Kong. There's no minimum wage, and
well, that is starting to change.
Yeah, I mean, people like talk about that. Oh, but if you're working like an office worker or whatever, you make like, I remember I think it was like $12 an hour, something like that. That's Hong Kong dollars an hour. So, you know, that's like $1.50 American an hour. Okay. In Hong Kong, it's not exactly cheap to find a place to live there.
But professionals are way overpaid at the same time.
Well, yeah, so you got a really stratified, not stratified, what do you call that? Divided country where the rich are incredibly rich and the poor are incredibly poor. So a lot of people say, well, you know, I mean, one could argue, well, that's the way it should naturally be. Like the right would say, you know, okay, people are just finding their own level, while the left would say, well, that's not good. You can't have that in our, you know, if you want to have a, if you're a human or something, and you want the feeling that we're all in this together as sort of a team, then you know, you don't. That's something you don't want, and that's why, you know, in the West we have sort of income taxes go up as you make more money. In Hong Kong, you've got a flat tax, 10%. So, which makes those billionaires very happy. So, you know, I mean, and so... Well,
it makes me very happy, and I'm very middle class.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so some things are... I don't know. I mean, some things people look... You know, you look at both sides of an issue. And when we mentioned we mentioned sort of the Hong Kong version of Social Security... You can choose whether to put your money into low risk, medium risk, or high risk, correct?
Yep.
What did you
MPF.
Choose? What did you
think
choose?
I chose medium.
Yeah,
or
okay.
Perhaps I chose some medium, some low, and some high.
Okay. So, Paul Acuna is our Republican listener, and he mentions how he talks about... Anyway, you guys were talking about Social Security. Bush tried to pass a bill a few years in Congress that would have given the American people a choice to put 10% of Social Security into personal retirement accounts or just keep their Social Security accounts like before. That Danny's, you know, goes off on the Democrats for killing it, and you know, he says we should let American people decide what's best for them. Well, I guess in the end, again, that's, you know, sort of the argument. Hong Kong, you know, again, the free market, very sort of people have to, you know, decide what to do with their own money, and you've chosen sort of to spread your risk. I guess, you know,
I'm also putting a percentage of my salary into a different retirement investment.
Yeah,
scheme.
I mean, I think that's what, in North America, Canada's sort of got a similar system to the States in that in Canada and at least in the States, their Social Security is like the minimum, it's the theory, at least I understand, it's the minimum level where it's going to be there 100% guarantee, you know. And the idea is everybody contributes and you're guaranteed 100% to get that back. But if you had a Hong Kong system and let's say you decided to put everything into medium and high and the market tanks and then you get old and it's not there, then you know you're screwed essentially. But I guess the Social Security is like in America and Canada is like the minimum kind of level you know that you're definitely going to get. And if you want to get more than that, then why can't you just invest on your own in the stock market? That's at least the other side of it that I just wanted to point out. And I don't want to sound like I'm coming off as a completely agreeing with everything in Hong Kong, or you know, or completely disagreeing with everything of it. I'm sort of in the middle of the road here, seeing things from both points of view. You know. So.
Well, one thing that's just a given in Hong Kong, and is that. When the kids start working, they give a percentage of their salary to their parents.
Oh, yeah, that's
to
right.
To support their parents.
Oh, that's right. You should go off and how the Grand Negus wanted half of your salary
or
something.
Oh, well, I mean, it's more for necessity because there is no real pension or anything like that, especially for people who are old now and they didn't have these sort of mandatory provident funds that they have now. So these old people... literally have got pretty much nothing, so the kid has sort of got
obligated
to
exactly
really take
and you know
care.
Before Social Security people had children, one of the reasons was they're thinking about their when they get old they need people to take care of them.
Yeah,
that's
why they had 10 kids in China back
yeah
in the
exactly because more children meant more security in your old age. Of course nowadays it's one of the reasons why you know it's falling, birth rates are falling, is, you know, people aren't thinking about having children as like a retirement insurance. They're thinking about, it's almost like a new car, having a kid, you know, nothing to do with like economic stability. It's almost like an expense,
like a Tamagotchi that you get arrested for.
Yeah, I mean, kids used to be, you know, kids used to be something that was a benefit to you economically. They could help you around the farm. Mm. They could do some work. They pay for themselves, you know. And when you got old, they took care of you in your old age. Of course, nowadays, you know, they're nothing but an expense. So it's like having a, you know, Ferrari or something, you know. So yeah, I was just going off on a big tangent here, but
yeah, I know. But it's still like that in Hong Kong. People now still support their parents. I don't know when my friends are old people. Will that be necessary? Maybe not. I don't know. So, though it is certainly nice to have to mooch off someone. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can just imagine, eh? But
yes, but of course, at the same time, my wife's mother, who was like just turned 40, she's you know, she's saying, oh, well, you know, you should be a good girl and give me some money, and I'm like, you know,
the hell with that.
She's not. Well, anyway, I'm not obligated to because she's not my mother. So if my wife wants to, that's up to her, but it's not like she's, you know, selling newspapers on the street or something. She's 40, she's still working, she's already owns a place.
Yeah, she's so fine economically. There's no reason why you have to start handing over your checks. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
If she was living on the street, I might, you know, give her some bread, or if I got some rice left over, I might sort of wrap it up in some newspaper and throw it to her, but no, I'm just being mean. Okay. Anyway, so thank you, Paul Acuna, for sending us that article. It
and
certainly was a good basis for discussion.
Your right-wing and, diatribe.
yeah, that's right. That's right.
But, but again, I try to see both sides of an issue. Yes.
All right. So Alex is more level-headed than me. I'm a left-wing nut, aren't I, Alex?
That's right. Danes are local communist. Except he likes the flag.
Actually,
living in Hong Kong, you like the right thing, you know. You like the 10% flat tax. You like the sort of stratified, you know, you're choosing where to invest, low, medium, or high risk. Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention. The one thing that Hong Kong does not done, sort of the Republican dream or the American sort of Republican sort of ideal, healthcare.
Yep.
They've got universal healthcare. You can get it for free.
Yep.
You go to your hospital.
Absolutely delightful.
You know, everything else they've got, you know, every sort of libertarian idea they've got there. No.
Yep.
You know, you can go down the list, but universal healthcare. So think about that.
Yep.
The best argument I heard was like, you know, you go to when your house is on fire, and you know the fire truck shows up, they don't ask you to see if you have enough money to pay them. You know, like society has decided that we're all in this together. We're all going to contribute to pay for fire. You know, just like most.
Well, basically, I went to hospital once last year because, you know, my heart was beating really fast. It turns out it was just anxiety. But for anyone who has anxiety or has had anxiety, they will often mistake it for a heart attack. And obviously, if the hospital thinks you have a heart attack, they're going to rush you away straight away. So, you know, I showed them my Hong Kong ID, and then, they took care of me.
Yeah.
So it was certainly nice.
All right. So anyways, let's get off that sort of hot potato topic.
Let's get off that. We also got a message from an email from Anime Roundtable, not to be confused with Anime Roundtable on Review. And I've been guilty of that crime.
Can people, like, why would you choose the same name as another podcast? That's my question.
I'm not sure which came first, actually. Was Anime, and they're both Canadian, I believe. Anime Roundtable and Review, and then Anime Roundtable. I don't know which one.
Well, one is like Anime Roundtable Canada, which is like with Roundtable as one word. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Anime Round Space Table and Review.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know what the story is there, but anyway, we got an email from them.
Yeah, I just, basically what I did was I screwed up, and the link I put there was an old link, but it was actually an old link to a very good episode, because they spoke to the owners of like a comic shop on its last day of closing and spoke about, you know, the business and how it went and what happened. And it was very interesting to get that perspective of the industry. But anyway, the link I did was an outdated link. There have been many new episodes posted, much to my surprise and delight. So check out the Anime Roundtable link that is in our website, because I have updated it since.
Or just go to www.animeroundtable.com.
Yes, which is much easier to remember. We don't have a .com, we just got a .blogspot.com.
Yeah, why don't we have a .com?
We're cheap.
Yes, do you want to spend the $20?
Yeah, when we get the 10,000th listener, then I'll pay for it. Yep.
All right.
So, and okay, they also so played our promo, so thanks to them for that, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and we played... We need a new promo, by the way.
I emailed them and asked them if they have a promo, but I haven't got a reply, so I will just plug their show right here, right now. And yes, we do need a new promo. We desperately need a new promo. Our last promo is good, but as we discovered...
Way too long.
It's too long as far as podcasts are concerned, so I'll have to edit it or make a new one.
Just play your Pushing Out a Loaf story.
That's yeah, I'll probably do that. Got to find that episode. Yeah, so there we go.
Anyways,
so I think
that wraps that up.
Yep.
And let's go on to the news.
Yes.
For the latest news from Asia and abroad, Anime Pacific News. Getting the news from places that you most likely already visit.
The news.
That's a very serious way of saying it. That was very good. The news.
The news.
And that, you're like Tom Brokaw. And now the news.
Yes, I am Tom Wackoff. The news.
Tom Wackoff.
Who's Tom Wackoff?
Tom Brokaw. He used to be the anchor for NBC News.
Okay.
And never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Pokemon
news. Okay, this is what Alex lives and dies for. So this is very, very, very important.
I do not. Quiet.
Now, I know we always say how faddy Japan is with their fads, lots of anime titles that are revered and remembered and embraced in, say, America, are completely forgotten about in Japan. However...
I don't know, I think if anything, the States is more faddy than...
Yeah, well...
Like, think about...
Generally...
Like, how quickly that... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Generally, from what the indications I've heard is that they're very faddy, unless a title is in the... Like, if a title is in the limelight, they keep it in the limelight, it'll stay there, but
I don't know. Look at Hello Kitty. Look at Doraemon. Look at Ultraman. You know, friggin' Power Rangers are still going there. You know, these are all fat. These are fat. Power Rangers fat in the States. The Sailor Moon fat in the States. The Pokemon fat in the States. They all came and went, but all those things stayed in Japan. So I don't know. I think I disagree with your premise.
Okay, well, I can see your point there. Anyway, Pokemon, the 10th film, opened at the top of the American box office. In fact, I remember reading that the tickets were...
American?
Sorry,
Japanese
box office. The tickets were pre-sold, like they were sold out in advance. That's right, they made about $16 million just in advance ticket sales alone.
Can you believe that? I mean, first of all, it's Pokemon, so it's by definition junk. But that it made 2 billion yen in advanced ticket sales, that it opened number one. It's I don't know, it's just unbelievable. Of course, you got the same thing in elsewhere with junk opening at the top, horror movies and whatnot.
Yes.
But this is like for kids. Like, this is definitely a kid movie. I mean, no adult, I would hope, would go see
well,
this.
Well, I actually saw the first Pokemon film at the cinema, I'll admit.
A new low of patheticness.
Well, I just wanted to see an anime on the big screen, on a theatrical screen, and yeah, I was taking my little cousin at the time, so I had an excuse.
That was your excuse, yep. Right? Like you said.
But, I did get my wish finally, because I saw Howl's Moving Castle in Hong Kong cinemas on a giant screen, so that was cool.
Right.
But
right.
Pokemon is still huge in Japan. There's showing no signs of subsiding. I remember Digimon came for a while, And that was a bit of a fad in Hong Kong, but it obviously didn't survive Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon keeps going and going. It's going to be the new Doraemon. It's horrible. I wish it would die.
But I don't wish Doraemon don't would die. That's...
No.
Doraemon is...
Me too, of course not. But Pokemon? Like, is the whole, like... I guess, like, a second... Like, two generations of kids have grown and... have grown up, and, you know... And, like, maybe they passed it on to their little brothers or something, but... I don't know.
It's
stupid.
Funny, because I remember being on a train when I was visiting Australia a few years ago, and there were a bunch of school kids talking about 7 or 8, and one of them was like, okay, look, can we just be open about this? Are you sick of Pokemon?
Yes.
Are you sick of Pokemon? Yes. So we're all agreed that we're all sick of Pokemon.
Yep.
Okay, let's not talk about Pokemon anymore. And these are like 7-year-olds. This was about 5 years ago or 4 years ago, so just goes to show you. But,
yeah.
Yep, Pokemon, number one in Japan. Alex is flying out there to get the exclusive anime Pacific review. So check that out.
Not.
Not.
All right, next news item. Earlier we were talking about how Bandai Visual is releasing Freedom on HD DVD.
That we did.
Boo. Yes, but Funimation is... going to go the Blu-ray route. So huzzah for the new standard. So, and it cites what I mentioned before, that Funimation cites the Sony PlayStation 3 game console as a factor. It says the Blockbuster video rental chain's recent Blu-ray disc expansion complements its own creation. This is on Anime News Network. So huzzah for the new standard. I hope HDVD, despite its, you know, various pluses, that like it's cheaper, but I don't care about the money. I just want one standard to die, the other one to win, so that this can take over and everybody can move on and say sayonara to our old DVD player.
You could just download the Blu-ray rips or the HD DVD rips.
Yeah, but we talked about this last week. I mean, I don't want to watch it on my
Remember, China has a new new media
Blu-ray
viewer.
Rip player.
Media viewer. It's like a 200 gig hard disk, and you can put your stuff on and then view it on TV.
But you still gotta plug it to your television. It would need to have high definition out.
Yep, it's got that.
It's got that, so you're watching it not in 480p, but you're watching
it in full high definition. As you said, when it comes for piracy, China's technology can't be beat.
All right. Well, I might have to if I'm in Hong Kong. I have to get.
Now, I mean, I'm not suggesting people go out and pirate stuff, but I mean, if there's a format,
you're not.
Well, I mean, this is a format war, and I'm not going to waste money. I've already wasted money, spent thousands of dollars on my anime VHS tapes, thinking that that's all I'd ever need, and it's.
You can't compare VHS.
Absolutely
to the
not. Absolutely not. I mean. If I was
a different thing.
VHS is very crappy quality anyway.
That's like complaining like you've built up this DVD, DVD sort of library, and now we're moving to the next high definition format, and you're complaining that you have to move from DVD to HD DVD.
Yeah. You
know? But anyways, we're going way off topic. So my main point is, huzzah for Blu-ray, down with HD DVD, and. It also points out that Wings of Mayonnaise is coming out on both Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Yes, one of my favorite films of all time, Wings of Onyamas.
That you reviewed a few weeks ago.
I've never reviewed Wings of Onyamas.
We've mentioned it
quite a few times, but I've never actually reviewed it.
Oh, I thought you'd... Oh, I must be confused. Well, because I know we brought that up, and what's his name emailed me complaining at my...
Yes.
Am I sacrilegious calling it Wings of Mayonnaise?
Well, it also has a voice by my favorite dub actor, who doesn't even
do
dubs
right.
anymore.
You were talking about...
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
The dad from Malcolm in the Middle. Awesome voice actor.
Well, I have it. I'm going to watch it, so maybe we can do a dual review of that then.
If
you haven't done. I could have swore you did a review of that, but maybe it was Anime Person of the Week or something. All right, so moving along.
I'm
just happy about that. Die HDVD, long live Blu-ray.
Okay. Speaking of long, there is one of those huggable pillows from Yoko from Tegen Topaguran Lagan, Yoko in pillow form. So now you can, you know, rub your crotch against this delightful pillow. is admittedly probably the sexiest character in the history of anime.
I don't know. I don't know if I go that far.
There is no hole there, so I don't think I'll be purchasing this.
If there was a hole, you'd be purchasing it? Yes.
If there was a hole and also, like, a little hammer to knock your wife out with, then I'd get it. No, I'm just joking, people.
No, he's
don't
not.
Don't call me this.
No, he's not. He's got
but it's going to cost...
spooging figurines, and he's got his video of him spooging on the figurines.
Yeah, that guy on 4chan is me.
Yep. Yes, that's right.
The guy that ejaculates on his figures and goes through all the trouble of making animated GIFs of them. But this is going to cost 9,450 yen.
That's outrageous.
My advice, people, go to Macau.
Get the knockoff that'll probably come out.
Go to Macau, and then you can probably hire a wonderfully looking woman to cosplay as her, and you can shag her at the same time.
Well, that's
for
true.
That price.
Yeah, so. For less, probably.
Well, all I know is that Macau... you can get, like, two girls for the price of one girl in Hong Kong.
You've heard.
No, please, people. This I don't want to be misunderstood on. I'm a married man in a monogamous relationship. I've just certainly heard.
I like how you're
heard.
Backpedaling.
I've certainly
be
heard.
Be proud of your infidelities.
This is just general knowledge, okay? Yeah. Even the local bishop will know, okay? Everyone knows Macau is...
Macau girls are cheaper than Hong Kong girls.
But higher class.
Oh, really?
Higher grade.
Oh.
Well yeah,
okay, for those of you who don't know, Macau is like the former Portuguese colony, which is about an hour ferry ride west of Hong Kong. It's a very small territory. Became part of China in 1999. A couple of years after Hong Kong, it's following the sort of similar sort of Hong Kong model, and sort of a gambling den, sort of like known for years and years as the sort of like Las Vegas of Asia, but it's became
now,
sort of
now
seedy.
Las Vegas is the Macau of the Americas, because Las Vegas is Macau is now more profitable than Las Vegas.
Yeah, like for like a long time it was kind of going downhill, but just in the last few years. Sort of, it's been booming again. And a lot of those, I guess it was a couple Las Vegas kind of billionaires, like gambling billionaires.
Well, Kim Jong Il's son, also.
But no, my point is, it used to be this one guy in Macau that had like a gambling monopoly.
Oh yeah, that gangster guy.
Yeah, sort of very sort of seedy sort of dealings there. How he got that monopoly, but now, I guess in the last few years, he's lost his monopoly. And sort of Las Vegas billionaires have sort of moved in and are building up the area with more kind of less seedy sort of gambling places and so it's gonna be a real Las Vegas of Asia. So I don't know if you ever go to Hong Kong, make sure you check out Macau. It's worth sort of going over there. Totally.
If you ever go to
feeling.
Macau, be sure to check out Hong Kong.
Wow.
Anyway, the point is that Macau is well known for its
prostitutes.
High quality bordello dens of sin. I don't know what you want to call them, but I've never been to one.
Escorts.
And, I would not dare to go to one.
Yeah. You can stop backpedaling now. So escorts. So the escorts in Macau are cheap and good looking, and you can get them to dress cosplay as Yoko.
Yep.
So
I would suggest you buy a Yoko suit, go to Macau, and. I'm encouraging my listeners to go out whoring. This is a new low point
or high point
in my life in this podcast. So I will post these pictures of the Yoko pillow in the anime.
But is there really a pillow? Is this the actual pillow or is this?
Yeah, they're quite popular. There's quite a lot of these things there. Essentially, 1.5 meters long, and when you go to sleep, you sort of embrace them.
Is it like is it just like a square pillow or does it have like legs?
It's just a square pillow with the picture on it. It's a long square pillow, 1.5 meters long.
Well, what the hell is the point of that?
I like to wrap my legs. Well, I suppose
years ago, not years ago, it was a few months ago that there was this sort of pillow that was shaped like the top half of a man for like all those like a whole generation of sort of single Japanese women. You know, they wanted to sort of feel like they had like a guy there, so they'd buy this sort of, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like this pillow that had the the top half of a guy with a guy's head, and it had like an arm that you could sort of put the arm over the shoulder of the girl and sort of feel like there's a...
Alex doesn't remember what it's called, but he sure remembers what it feels like.
Quiet!
Okay, sorry.
Anyway. So, next item.
Yes. Next item, the Gundam 00 trailer. Cool. 30 seconds.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I've just had a look. It is the first Gundam that uses our Gregorian calendar.
Oh, really?
If that's any... Yes. All the other ones do their own timeline, or like Universal Century, for example. But this one is actually set during the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, I was trying
calendar.
To figure that out, because, you know, there's Gundam 0080, 0083. Mm. I thought this might be either, like going back to, like, you know, minus 80 or whatever, or but that wouldn't make any sense, because that'd be pre, like, 79. I don't know, I couldn't figure out what they're trying to do there. So why don't you just sort of fit it in with the original, like, why change the calendar? It's going to confuse everyone.
It's because nothing has got more timelines than Gundam. You got your Universal Century, you've got your Cosmic Century, whatever it's called for.
But this is just Gundam, adding another timeline, in essentially.
Oh yeah,
so
absolutely.
So like, what the hell?
Yeah, you got
You're
Gundam
just confusing everybody more.
This would be like,
you just stick it in
the 7th or the 8th timeline.
Yeah, they should just stick it in with the original. I hate this with their alternate universes, you know. Like, just stick with the original one and build up. God damn it. I have seen the trailer. Well, it looks like Gundam. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Nothing particularly spectacular.
Animation looks
well,
good.
You know, it's on YouTube, so it's hard to tell, you know.
Detail.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, like, the detail. So it's hard, you know. But on the U, so it looks passable. But until you see, like, it actually on DVD or whatever, it's going to be hard to sort of make a, you know, call it. But, you know, it's nothing very spectacular. I mean, there's some good sort of action sequences. But, you know, the Gundam, it's a Gundam. I mean, it's got the sort of yellow eyebrows that serve no purpose, just make it look human. And sort of the
Seems
usual.
The Gundams are getting bigger and bigger eyebrows.
Yeah.
There's going to be like, next Gundam series, Groucho Marx Gundam!
And people have heard of my complaints about this a million times. I mean, I like the more realism aspects, so the eyebrows sort of make it's a bit annoying. But the other mecha in that clip there, in the 30-second clips, they look cool. So, I don't know.
Yep.
What the wait till it comes out.
I think a Groucho Marx Gundam
Groucho
would be pretty
Marx
cool,
Gundam.
Actually.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
All right.
You have, like, this cigar that would, like, shoot flame at people and stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking too much. Okay, look. Who even knows who Groucho Marx is that's listening to the show?
Right.
Drop in a comment. Is he one of the Marx brothers? Yes. And the news, there wasn't there one more thing of
production
note you wanted to
IG
mention?
Posts.
Oh, production
Less
IG,
profit,
yeah.
36% profit drop. I guess, well, I don't know why.
Ghost in the Shell pipeline.
That's their bread and butter. Need to get that guy, yeah.
Well, they were, you know, they had Kill Bill, they had Ghost in the Shell. Aren't they doing Darker Than Black?
Oh, I don't know. Good question.
I think they are. And, of course, they were doing that, you know, the same director as Standalone Complex was doing that Asian fantasy series, which got pretty much a license straight away after the first episode. I only saw the first episode. Looks good from a tech...
Why did you only...
Why did I only watch... Well, it got licensed, and the fan sub stopped happening. I'm sure it's still being subbed by someone. I mean... Personally, what I think is that if you're watching episode 190 of Naruto, and Naruto episode 1 is just showing on Cartoon Network, I don't really think, you know, that's going to be torture for someone who watches these shows, and you got to wait, you know, a few years for them to catch up. And secondly, if a show completely rapes and butchers a show like One Piece, which I know it's being licensed again, but the original One Piece licensing, which was a complete raping, I certainly wouldn't I wouldn't be calling the feds if you were downloading One Piece to watch it in its proper way. I mean, people will make any excuse to get something for free, but I suppose there's a certain line that you draw when something's a bit over the top. You. Like Bandai's pricing, for
outrageous.
Example.
Outrageous. We talked about that before, though.
Yes. We talked about that many times, and so was everyone, really. So I think that's pretty much it for the anime news. Is
that
it
would
not,
be it.
Sir Alex? I've been sneezing. I got a bit of a cold, so if I sound very nasally,
more than usual. Yes.
That is why. More than. What does that mean?
Well, you do sound kind of like a hype. I remember when we were first recording, you were like, "Oh my god, I can't believe I sound like that. I sound like a punce," and you wanted to like artificially deepen your voice. So you've always been sort of
but
kind of high
now
and
I've
whiny.
Discovered that. My voice turns me on. I don't have a high and whiny voice.
Not quite Scott level, but, you know.
Not like Alex and the Chipmunks. Blue Moon, he's always standing alone.
Well, that was amazing. And that you didn't and you didn't even, like, that was not altered in post-production, folks. Yeah. That is the, that sounded like, as if, like, you had gone back in post-production and, you know, altered the pitch or something and played with it, but no, that was just pure. That sounded great.
Yeah, no, I'm using the lift testicle filter in Adobe Audition. okay.
I think you use that filter a lot when you're working on your models. But,
no, I won't say that. Okay, anyway, moving on to the Tales from Asia.
It's the audio freak show that's worse than the voices in your head. This is Public Nuisance Radio.
He came to the door in a green onesie with a diaper full and a binky in his mouth.
He looked at him with a big, retarded grin, and his response was, "Mama, I got a penguin."
Well, he de-pantsed him, and lo and behold, I saw either women's underwear or what looked to be the most ugly, uncomfortable-looking pair of men's underwear. I don't think friendship should be formed in the bathroom while I've got my penis in my hand. It just seems wrong.
For more sick and twisted tales of Mikey's freak show life, tune in to www.publicnuisanceradio.com. It's not safe for work and most likely not safe for most homes either.
While you do look at the map, you would realize that this is not in fact the East. As many of our listeners are actually in the USA, we are actually in the West. So, welcome to Tales...
Okay, it is the Tales from Asia. Just a
bong.
Quick...
Bong!
Doosh! Yes, it's not a show without the gong. Okay... This Tales from Asia involves the Dagobah system again. Do you remember when we were talking about Dagobah, the swampy land full of shacks up on the hill near where our...
It's not swampy, though, but we just thought it was... Because Hong
jungly.
Kong is just generally so humid, and definitely full of... definitely jungly. And I know everybody thinks of, like, Hong Kong. We mentioned this before, and probably thinks of, like the Kowloon, Chim Sha Tsui area, or Mong Kok, where it's... just nothing but apartments. But up in the New Territories in Sha Tin, there's quite a lot of greenery. So next to the New Town Plaza in Sha Tin, there's this sort of hill, and we lived up in that village, they called it, which is sort of a collection of shacks into the bush, sort of connected by concrete walkways and stairways. And, so that was the Dagobah. And you never did post a picture of our house there.
Well, it was absolutely pissing with rain, and I couldn't have done it without getting extremely soaking wet. And while young wet men is something that you personally have a preference for, it's not exactly something that makes me feel any good.
You could have done that any time. There's more than one way to skin a cat, man. You had 3 months or whatever. Anyways, we're going off topic. But yes, so we had a place up there
with the World War II granny who was still stabbing soldiers, which were locked in her basement.
That's right.
So anyway, what happened was basically that me and Alex were walking down the Dagobah path, and a girlfriend of mine at the time called Emily.
Oh,
Emily
yeah.
was a secretary at the English center I was working at. She used to have her own pants that she'd wear at my place. Remember, she had those little short shorts that she'd wear?
Yeah, what was the story on that?
Just that she'd be wearing these hot pants, and then
the stylish sort of skin-tight jeans, and then, you know, it gets too hot, so she'd change out of those into the short shorts or something. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. That's right. So anyway, we were walking down from the Dagobah system down to
Newtown Plaza,
and I'm at the front. Emily's in the middle. Alex is at the back, and then there was some woman behind me, and I see this dog sort of running
up the
path.
Old woman, middle-aged woman,
something like that.
Sort of old and middle-aged.
And there was this dog sort of running up. And I was, you know, okay, it's a dog, cool.
Now, I didn't notice the dog. I was sort of looking
no
up.
No one noticed
check.
The dog except for me, because I was at the front, and it was a thin path, and it was sort of a domino effect.
Yeah, it's the
and
thin
And so the dog
sort of,
comes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's a thin sort of concrete pathway, stairs going down, and off to the right and left, there are these sort of huts sort of scattered around, sort of jungly, and this big dog comes up the pathway. I don't notice.
Emily doesn't notice. So Emily's like, and then the lady is like, and then Alex is like,
No, you got it backwards. Emily goes, ah. I go, wah. And the woman behind us goes, wah, because it was like a chain reaction.
I remember your
and then she was
scream.
Like,
you're like,
yeah, I was very, that's right, I was extremely loud. So the dog
that
comes up.
That was a
up,
prison
goes,
rape scream.
Yeah, well, the dog comes up this pathway, and Emily, obviously, just like me, sort of staring off to the side, and she sees this kind of like, it's a sort of a jungly kind of atmosphere, so it's almost like a panther coming towards us or something. And she goes, ah! I see it, I go, ah! From her reaction, quite loudly, as you said. And then the lady behind us, woo! And then she's sort of clutching her chest. And she's in Chinese, she was like something like, oh my god. Her
you
reaction.
Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, right.
Something like that, yes.
Like DLA or something. Yeah, I'm swearing.
That was quite good. Yeah. Alex let his girly scream be known to the world, and a middle-aged woman clutched onto him, so he was happy.
The middle-aged woman was behind you, though. But anyways, yes. So that was our Dagobah story. But
certainly was. Yeah. And if you're ever wondering what happened to Emily, she...
Wait, you should tell the whole story. Don't brief it up.
Okay. Well, she was sort of a very bony... Not bony, but very thin girl. Very thin.
Like most Hong Konger girls, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Certainly was. And bit of a childish girl, really. I remember we saw... When Alex and Kaori came, and we watched that movie, Sakuya.
That was horrible.
Yeah, that horrible movie, Sakuya.
Yeah, you loved it. That was the worst thing. We all said it sucked, and you were like, oh, it's good. And you need another 5-star review for Dane. Like,
wasn't
that
5-star.
5-star.
I was just great. I told you, it was my eye-opener to yokai, and I was very happy to see those yokai. Anyway, she kept calling Kaori Sakuya by mistake for like 3 days. I thought that was funny. But anyway... I went back to Australia for a while, and
but don't you think her personality in that way is a bit similar to like Connie in that I could totally see Connie doing the same thing, mistaken like calling Kaori Sakuya and then going.
Well, I think Connie is actually quite clever, and
Emily
she can
was
do
dumb
a lot
as a
of
brick.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Connie's clumsy, but she's pretty intelligent, whereas Emily was a bit thick.
She was one of the Emily was one of the secretaries at the one of the many rotating secretaries we had at the English Center.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it just sort of
we didn't need to go anywhere to find girls that
yeah,
they
that's right.
rotate through the center.
That's right.
But anyway, I did see her again a few years ago.
No, but wait a minute, you should tell the whole story.
Well, like what else is...
She went to Australia.
That's right, yeah. She said, okay, well, look, if you go to study in Australia, maybe I'll study too. And then she went, and then, you know, we broke up because I didn't really want to stay in Australia, and things weren't working out between us. And I think she stayed there for like 2 months and got bored, must have wasted a huge amount of her father's money, and came back. And...
But she didn't tell her father that she came back or something.
I can't remember the story exactly.
I think it's like she didn't tell her father that she came back and she was like secretly in Hong Kong.
Yeah, but her father wouldn't have recognized her anyway because she was easily like 300 kilograms. She was freaking huge. I mean, she was like, you know, that Eddie Murphy movie, Norbit. She was just like, you know...
Blimped up completely.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. So
all the stress, you know, from all her shenanigans really got to her, eh? So
yeah, well, I mean, I think when any woman breaks up with me, they generally hit the bottle, yeah. Overeat. You know, it's all part of the
Dane skin, withdrawal, charisma,
Dane withdrawal symptoms.
Yes.
So,
the
but
magic
she certainly wasn't
Dane
as fat as Charlene.
That's right.
The Native American that had to flee her native country out of fear of being whaled.
I wonder what ever happened to her. Did she go back to Canada? I can't remember.
I don't know. Probably died of a massive heart attack.
Yeah. Ended up... Now, I don't know. I guess we can throw this in because it's pretty short. So, your stay in Hong Kong... Like, we were... We mentioned this before. We were both doing visa runs. And, You did a visa run.
Oh,
you should
yeah.
tell that story. So you, one of your like your final visa run was not successful.
Yep. This is not really a comedic story, but more of a genuine tale. What you basically do for people who are working, you know, under the table, so to speak, is that you would go to China and come back in a day, and they would theoretically stamp 3 months on your visa. Now, Alex was a bit more clever because he went to, like, Macau, and then he went to China, and then he went to Thailand.
I did go to China, actually, yeah.
Yeah. And he managed to get it done for the whole year. Me, I got it done once, extended to 6 months, and then the last time I did it, the guy basically says, you know, you've already stayed in Hong Kong 6 months, what's the deal? And... You know, I was like...
You're just stunned, right? Like, what to say, you know? This isn't in the script kind
well,
of thing.
Well, usually right? I'm very good in these situations, but I just basically said, you know, it's an extended holiday and whatnot, and oh, I'll be going soon anyway. So he said, oh, when will you be going? And I said, November. November the what? November the 12th. And then he wrote down... Day of exit, November the 12th.
So that was your huge mistake. Something similar happened to me, and actually I learned from that story. So, and so, by the way, he had to leave on November the 12th. He flew back to Australia, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So something similar happened to me. So, like, the first time I went through China, the guy did look at me kind of sideways. Like, that was my first visa run to China. So this was 3 months. So just like you, I went across the border, looked around the Shenzhen a little bit. And by the way, we should mention Shenzhen. We should talk about that a little bit and how it's sort of like it's like yep. Hong Kong but cheaper. But anyways, I came back across the border the same day, and the guy sort of paused, looked at my passport, paused a minute, gave me sort of a sideways glance, and you could sort of see he was thinking to himself, and then he just stamped it, and I went in no problem for another 3 months. And the next run, I guess it was to Thailand, and I took like a week or two vacation there with that horrible place Phuket, which would make another good story. And
you didn't stay
sorry,
in Phuket.
Phuket
you
Pattaya.
Stayed in...
I'm sorry, Pattaya.
I stayed in Phuket and I liked it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not Phuket, Pattaya.
Yeah.
Flying back, the guy asked me the same question. You know, like, hey, you've been here 6 months. Like, I think it's kind of a sort of routine. Like 6 months, they start asking you more questions.
Yep.
So he was like, boy, you've been here 6 months. You know, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm staying with a friend of mine. And, you know, I'm just sort of spending a year overseas. And he's like, oh, really? But, you know, you're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to work here on a tourist visa. I'm like, oh, I know. But, you know, I don't have to pay rent with my friend. And he's like, oh, and when are you leaving? And so, unlike Dave, I said, oh, in another 3 months. In you know. So I went 3 months more, right? Another 3 months in March.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, okay. And he gave me another 3 month stamp on my passport. So it all worked out for me.
That was very, very clever.
Yes.
Although I think at that time I was winding up at the English Center anyway. So
yeah, I think you had enough with their sort of slavish kind of work standards.
Well, I just knew that they weren't going to get me the work visa anyway. So, you know, ticking time bomb. And then I remember I bought so many DVDs, and these were like proper legal ones, and I just didn't want to throw out all the covers for them. And then when I went to the airport, I had like 3 bags, and I was overweight with the bags, and then I had to pay extra when I could have just fit all these DVDs into a slip sleeve. I realize that
now.
Yeah,
of course. Oh my God.
To my eternal regret.
What the hell did you do with all those covers? You hauled them to Australia, and then you wouldn't.
Yeah, they're I don't know where they are, in the roof somewhere. But one of the things that strikes me here when I get back to Australia is just how I could never really live here. I'm not going all political again, but I'm just talking about just general life. I mean, the price of things here is insane. The price of going out to eat, the price of food, the price of, you know,
getting about.
Just things like cables. Yeah, and the price of cables, you know, like internet. I wanted to link this cable up to the hub, so I found a 1 meter cable. And in Hong Kong, that'd be like, you know, 10 Hong Kong dollars. But here it's 10 Australian dollars, and I just couldn't justify wasting money on that, you know? And yeah.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you mean. Like, I've been back in Canada for a few months now. I'm like, boy, it'd be sort of nice. I'm sort of thinking, maybe I'll go back, you know, go back to Asia in September, maybe even Hong Kong again, yeah. You know. So
yep, we're working hard to get Alex here into Hong Kong.
Well,
so
you know, let's
hopefully.
You know, well, it's an option. We don't want to, like, you know, proclaim something and then it doesn't turn out that way.
Oh yeah, we're not proclaiming, but
yeah,
we're working hard
we're
to try
we're looking
and make
at that
happen.
As a definitely a possibility if we can talk Kauri into it. So yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, plus all the atmosphere of Hong Kong, I just loved it. You know, the convenient public transit, everything. The public transit is cheap, you know, for what you get, you know. Although, unlike,
you can never be lost in Hong Kong.
Unlike, you know, sort of North American public transit, which has to be subsidized heavily because everybody has cars and everything is so spread out. You know, it's almost impossible to have like a sort of a for-profit public transit because everything is so spread out and it's inefficient and built around the car and cheap gas, which, you know, is going up here. You know, having a for-profit public transit, like, you know, like, again, sort of right, Hong Kong being kind of the right-wing city or like sort of the sort of free market libertarian dream has different sort of, has two bus companies which compete against each other for public transit, has two different, although they're merging now, sort of subway systems
now,
essentially, that, you know, that compete against each other. You know, they got the KCR and MTR, which compete against each other. Now they're merging.
Well, they sort of complement each other.
Well, that's how it worked out, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And so essentially there are four public, sort of major sort of public transit organizations, all sort of competing in theory. Again, of course, there's taxis you throw in there, and you throw in the minibuses, which are sort of pseudo-independent. And, yeah, I mean, the public transit is amazingly efficient, very frequent, easy to get around.
Yep, you could never get lost, like I said.
It's a dream. I loved it. And plus the hustle and bustle of the city. I don't think I could live in, like, Kowloon or something, because it's just too crowded.
Yeah, neither could I.
But up in the new territories, it's great.
Yep, I was very happy there. I still am very happy there. And what a lot of people don't know is that Hong Kong is a great place for hiking. It's an awesome place for
hiking.
Yeah,
I used to
like
that
everywhere.
A lot. You know, being back in Canada, I sort of hiked a bit, but I missed sort of the view as you get sort of get, especially along that Lying Rock Trail.
Yep. I actually did finally get to the top of that twice, because last time me and Alex went, it was just getting hot, and there was this sign saying, you know, it's very perilous, don't go this way if you're tired, or blah, 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 and we sort of went, I was like 20 kilograms fatter then as well, so I was like, I don't really want to do that. But then I went up it 2 weeks in a row a few months ago. In fact, that photo of me semi-naked that I posted on the blog was at the top of Lion Rock, and it's completely easy. I don't know why they put that sign there.
I guess
you're
it's
just
a scare
like
way
climbing
to
up rocks.
Maybe it's for like legal reasons or something.
Pretty much. Yep. I suppose it would be, but it's an absolutely awesome hike.
Yeah, highly recommended for any tourists.
Hong Kong is... Yes, highly recommended. And for a donation of $1,000, I'd be happy to tell you where to go.
Tell you where to go. Not a personal
now,
tour.
Shenzhen.
Yeah, Shenzhen.
Shenzhen. Shenzhen is the busiest border in the world, the Hong Kong-Shenzhen border. A lot of Hong Kong people go there to live or work every day because they can buy a bigger place for cheaper in Shenzhen. It is a special economic zone of the People's Republic of China. And it is,
it's a lot
what
like
can I say? If you are in the world's biggest country, and a lot of them probably want more money, and if these people are going to try and get that money in devious or insidious ways, they are going to do it from Shenzhen.
Definitely a seedy area, but
that's where all the Hong Kong people go and tourists.
But it's not seedy in that. Like the buildings are old or whatever. It's new development, right? It's like a new, like 30 years ago, it did not exist. Okay, so it's new buildings, but like what you see there is in the seedy side. I mean, for example, just as you cross the border, on the right there's like a giant sort of mall, but essentially it's like a pirate mall, full of little shops, but they're all selling like stuff like pirated goods, like pirated handbags and pirated DVDs. You can get the same stuff in Hong Kong, but it's more expensive. So you can just cross the border and get it for a lot cheaper, you know.
Now, there's also no Walmarts in Hong Kong, but China Walmart is quite a hit, and there's a huge Walmart in Shenzhen now. So a lot of Hong Kong people go and do their shopping in Walmart and buy everything for, 25% of what they get it in Hong Kong, which isn't even that much.
Hong Kong,
in the first
to begin
place.
With, is very cheap to like live, just for daily life, except for you know, obviously not rent, for you know where you live, you know, housing is expensive for what you're getting anyway compared to other countries.
Yeah, and
but everything else is cheap.
That's right. Yep. So you know, it's all plus and minuses there, but with Shenzhen, it's definitely where Hong Kong meets China, and you can start to see some of the differences. I mean, in the street, you'll see like crocodiles in fish tanks outside restaurants and stuff like that. And I'm not joking. And you got like these cages with these like, I don't know, these little badger things that they eat. I mean, I've eaten quite a lot of things. I should have a whole Tales from Asia on just what I've eaten.
That'd be a good story.
Just to shock Alex. But, it's a whole different world. And again, China's like 100 countries in one. There's hundreds of different cultures out there. I used to live in North China. There were quite a few Mongolian women there, and they had these wonderful, strong, powerful horse-riding legs. I've always wanted to date a woman that could kill me with her legs.
Yeah.
Connie's legs are like chopsticks.
Yeah, I can imagine the powerful legs would add another element to your tentacle sex games that you participate in. So, yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. But if you like good, powerful thighs, then Mongolian ladies are the way to go, people. So there you go. So I think that pretty much wraps up another Tales from Asia. We've got a pretty long episode here, and I'm in the midst of a rather bad cold. And Alex probably has bedtime looming, as it's almost 7 p.m.
I'm not quite that bad. But, so let's wrap it up, and we'll see you next week. So,
yes. The schedule of which we release these might be a little bit different. I will try to release them on Saturday just to keep it consistent. If it's not, then you might get them earlier.
Nothing wrong
with
getting them earlier, I suppose. As long as we keep to like about one every week. Earlier or later doesn't really matter that much, I think. But
It's Wednesday of the recording of this in Australian time, and it's Tuesday in Alex's time. So, of course, if I do that, I'm worried that the other episodes might not get shared so much, and that dumbass feed burner is really inaccurate when it says our listeners, because a lot more people are downloading than actually says our listeners.
I think the whole calculation system. Yeah, we complain about the feed burner a lot, but that listeners is not like how many people have downloaded each show. It's like how many people have downloaded all episodes like yesterday. Like total downloads for all episodes yesterday.
Yeah.
So, that's what it is.
Something like that. So,
like the average for yesterday. So, it sucks. Yep. And so anyways, let's wrap this up. Right. So email us at animepacific@yahoo.com for any comments about...
If you saw the cockpit, I know DivX Stage 6 isn't sharing it anymore, but if you managed to get it or if you have downloaded through the torrent...
Or if you were the guy who ratted us out to DivX Stage 6, please let us know also.
Yep. And email me a lock of your hair. Yes. That'd be just lovely. Okay. So, until next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah!
Listen, I'm going to tell you a little something, something we can all relate to. It's been going on too long.
That's right.
And it's time our community did something about it.
Come on.
Look, everybody got a cell phone. I got one too. But just like a split for a Jimmy hat, you got to have some sense when you use it. The other day I went out to the grocery store. I found myself in an aisle behind some fat ass whore. She wouldn't make her kid shut up and leave me alone, cause upside her fat head was a fucking cell phone. I tried to drop me a hint so she would let me buy, but that damn cell phone filled her one track mind. As I looked at her three kids, a thought crossed my mind. Who slept with this bitch once, let alone three times? I can't get around her on either side. It don't help that her ass is a half a mile wide. My temper boiled up, my eyes started to twitch. I wanna smack a fat hoe and say, hang it up, bitch.
Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch.
I head to work again. I'm behind a bitch on her phone in a minivan. She ought to make that call from the side of the road, but her jaw keeps a flapping like a big fat toad. She keep talking on her phone, weaving all over the place. If her window were down, I would slap the bitch face. Running off her mouth is all that's on her mind. She too busy flapping her gums to read the traffic signs. I pulled up beside her to see what I could see. The kids in her car look more terrified than me. I don't mean to sound angry, I don't mean to sound bitter. Like to see the bitch wreck if her kids wasn't with her.
Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch.
We're sorry. All circuits are busy now. Would you please try your call again later?
I try to be a nice guy, tolerate everyone, but I knew sooner or later that this day would come. I was in line at the bank and it quit moving along, cause a guy who was next was talking on his cell phone. I smacked the phone out of his hand, stopped a mud hole in his butt, then I calmed down and I waited for the cops to show up. The police, they arrived, took a good look around, then the teller told them all exactly how it went down. I put my hands out for the cuff, the cops had put them away, and then he shot the guy whose ass I kicked with pepper spray. The cop winked and he smiled as he drug the guy away. As he threw him in the car, could have swore I heard him say,
hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch. Hang it up, bitch, hang it up, bitch.
Will you please try your call again later?
Yeah!